You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It's another Tuesday. It's either Property Tuesdays or Agri Tuesdays, as you know them. And this week is the turn of Property Tuesdays. We're going to be taking a look at the real cost of renting. I'm joined on the line by PayProp's General Manager for Group Sales, Michelle Dickens, to take a look at this. Good evening, Michelle. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start by understanding the property market at the moment. Are people sort of renting more or buying more at the moment?
You know, Jimmy, it's such a personal preference. And it depends on your lifestyle stage, whether you're a student, whether you're retiring, going into retirement, getting your first job, migration across the country. There's so many personal choices that determine if you as an individual want to rent or you want to buy. But when we look at it from a more of a macro version, what we see out there in the market at the moment is 24% of, let's call it one in four, households prefer to rent at the moment. It's a number that's been growing, and it's driven by many different reasons. On a more macro level, for example, we've got high interest rates, and that encourages people to stay in rental accommodation for longer, waiting for those interest rates to come back down again. We also see the tenants are becoming older. So traditionally, you would move out in your 20s, and we're seeing that that's extended all the way into the 30s. And affordability does start to drive that. Generational aspects of that are people become more transient. So a lot of tenants are more comfortable to live the rental lifestyle than the home ownership lifestyle. But effectively, the question, one in four tenants happy to be in a rental accommodation at the moment.
When we think about property and we think about property purchases, there's all sorts of fees and things involved around transfer duties and all of that. But when we discuss rental properties, there's a few fees that we actually don't know exist in the rental space. Take us through some of those.
Yeah, so every fee that a tenant needs to pay, those fees need to be reduced to writing and recorded in your lease agreement. Otherwise, we simply can't charge them as an industry, as investors or landlords. So the type of fees that a tenant typically used to pay is, I know what the rent is. On average, it's 30% of an individual's income that they spend towards their rental accommodation, being the basic rental. But then on top of that, tenants need to budget for water. They need to budget for electricity. And as a homeowner, you're going to be budgeting for things like maintenance of the property, levies on the property, sewerage, refuse removal, rates and taxes, all of those on the property. So the landlord also has costs that they're budgeting for. However, some costs are then passed on to the tenant. For example, in your rates and taxes, we're going to pass on the costs of sewerage onto the tenant. Sewerage, pickup, refuse removal, those kind of costs as well. So tenants are starting to learn that they need to budget for those in addition. On top of that, of course, is the process of signing the tenant on. So in the market, tenants need to start thinking about budgeting for the cost of the lease agreement. So there's often a cost that the tenant pays upfront for signing the lease agreement, the contract fee it's often called. Tenants are often asked to pay an application fee. So we've shown you the property, you want to go to the point of application. An application fee is now common in the market where there's costs associated with determining if you want to take the tenant on or not. Once you're secured in the property, of course, then there's the inspection fees. Now, the inspection fee is really important because both tenant and landlord are required to do a joint incoming and a joint outgoing inspection in terms of the law. And so where these costs are associated with, sometimes it's to the landlord and sometimes it's to the tenant. For example, often the incoming inspection fee is charged to the landlord and the outgoing inspection fee is charged to the tenant. So these are some of the costs that the tenant should be thinking about. But of course, all of them will be included in the lease agreement so that the tenant isn't blindsided by costs that they don't know are coming.
I like that you bring up that lease agreement, Michelle. I want to look at some of the other things that renters or potential tenants should be discussing with a potential landlord prior to moving in so that you're not blindsided by the lease. Obviously, it's important to read your lease agreement and read it thoroughly, but are there kind of questions you can be asking your landlord? Are there certain clauses you should be wary of in a lease agreement?
Jimmy, you're 100% correct. So in South Africa, a lease agreement can be verbal. So a tenant and a landlord can enter into a verbal lease agreement, but it's always better to reduce it to writing, because this is where disputes often arise, when it's not reduced to writing. So the clauses that tenants should pay particular attention to, for example, are if I'm renting with a friend or a colleague and I enter into a lease agreement, this lease agreement is generally jointly and severally, the tenants are generally jointly and severally liable. In other words, if one friend pays and the other friend doesn't pay, the paying friend often gets surprised to hear that they are liable for the non-paying friend's part of the rent. So it's important when we're looking at the lease agreement and I'm going to rent with a friend, am I jointly and severally liable for the rent? Because then I'm liable for my friend in the event that they don't pay. That's often a surprise. The other one is how rent must be paid and where it must be paid to. That seems simple enough, right? It must be paid on the first. It must often have cleared the landlord's bank account on the first. So when you've got interbank delays, because you're paying out of one bank into another bank, it's important that that is then taken into consideration as a tenant. And more importantly, because this is such an interesting fact about tenant payments, tenants often use a generalized rent as their reference, instead of using what is the correct reference number that's been allocated to me. So when I pay my rent, it can be automatically allocated to my landlord and dispersed to my landlord. And then the tenant, and here's where it's important for the tenant, won't be held liable, for example, for interest for non-payment, because the rent hasn't been able to be allocated to their account simply because they used the wrong reference number. So that's a really, really important one. And then, Jimmy, my third one is an important one, because when we're moving into the property, it's all roses and everyone's happy. But tenants have the right to cancel their lease early. And often when they cancel the lease early, it's a big surprise to hear that they have a penalty or damages charge that's levied against them. So it's important to understand, if I'm going to cancel my lease early, does my lease make provision for what those costs could be?
Certainly a lot of costs to take into account, costs when you sign up with a landlord or enter into an agreement, but also some surprise costs if you are intending to lease with other individuals. Michelle, before I let you go, I want to look at the costs or potential costs associated with subleasing. I know this is a very interesting topic, or an interesting angle towards the rental space, because you have to get the landlord's permission before you do these sorts of things. But are there specific costs that can be incurred over and above your normal rental costs when you are subleasing?
Yeah, costs. Subleasing is a really important part of that lease agreement that you want to read up front. Subleasing is generally, in most residential lease agreements, prohibited because the landlord wants to ensure that who is placed in the property will be able to pay the rent. So they're going to go through the affordability process, etc. Often subleasing used to be in years gone by, when a tenant was in a fixed term lease agreement for 12 months and they didn't have the option for early cancellation.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time. We're going to have to leave that conversation there. Thank you so much for the time and for the insights, Michelle. That's Michelle Dickens, General Manager for Sales at PayProp, joining me for this week's property segment.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.